A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 8:30.
It's 44 degrees.
Backups at the mouth of Parley's Canyon continue because of a freeway closure. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this half hour, police agencies across Utah are taking a closer look at how they can bring down the number of police use of force cases. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson begins our team coverage, Utah Justice Reform.
Officials with the Department of Public Safety say rebuilding trust between police and underserved communities will drastically reduce the number of use of force cases. So they say increased community outreach will be instrumental in making that happen. SBI Chief Brian Redd says they also need to do a better job holding bad officers accountable, and those officers should not be allowed to jump from one department to another.
Police say they also need to improve how they de-escalate situations among different cultural groups and people with disabilities.
These conversations are part of a symposium this week asking how Utah is doing on reform after all the riots. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards continues our team coverage, Utah Justice Reform.
They want to know how justice reform is going and if these conversations from the past year are leading to meaningful change. Advocates also say more police departments in Utah need civilian review boards like Salt Lake City and West Valley City have, and they'd like to see more diversity among officers. One panel discussion talked about how people seem to be pulled over or stopped by police in Utah just because of their skin color. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. A tense scene remains in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota this morning following a third night of protest over this week's fatal police shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright.
Constantly here overnight, the emergency alerts on phones were going off all around Minneapolis telling people they must remain indoors overnight, that a strict curfew is in place. The streets are mostly empty. Around police headquarters here in Brooklyn Center, it's surrounded by National Guard and armored vehicles.
ABC's Alex Stone reporting there from Minnesota.
Severe Utah weather.
Okay, so weather now with Grant Wayman. The wind is back this morning with some very high gusts in northern Utah.
We've already been seeing some wind gusts between 60 and 70 miles an hour in what I call the wind tunnel. There are parts of Davis County, Weber County, and even coming down Red Butte Canyon in the Salt Lake Valley, we've been seeing some strong wind gusts as well. But we're throwing in rain showers along with that, and maybe even some isolated thunderstorms. So it's really quite a weather day, especially for getting rain where we've got those strong wind gusts this morning.
Grant says the wind should die down a little after noon, but temperatures will still only be in the 40s and 50s. We're also seeing some snow falling in Parley's Canyon and up near the Utah-Idaho border.
Right now, Rocky Mountain Power is showing about 1,600 customers without power because of the wind. Those numbers are constantly changing as power gets restored in some areas, and then a tree limb takes out power somewhere else. The current outages are in small bunches stretching from Brigham City to parts of Salt Lake County.
Breaking news this morning, a Texas police officer is in the hospital after being shot multiple times during a traffic stop overnight. Authorities say the Burleson officer was shot by one of three people. The suspects, two men and a woman, fled the scene in a car before abandoning it. Police are searching for those suspects now. The officer was taken to a local hospital. His current condition has not been released.
We're also following a developing story this morning. A short time ago, it was announced that Bernie Madoff had died. He's the financier who pleaded guilty to orchestrating the largest Ponzi scheme in history and has been serving time in federal prison. Madoff spoke to New York Magazine from prison back in 2011 and talked about how he hurt his family, including his wife, who originally stuck by his side but eventually turned against him.
And angry at me, of course. How could she not be angry at me? You know, she tries not to be, but it's hard not to be. And, you know, I destroyed our family.
Last year, Madoff's lawyers filed court papers to try and get the 82-year-old released from federal prison because of the COVID-19 pandemic. That request was denied. Madoff admitted swindling thousands of clients out of billions of dollars in investments over decades.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.